coming in as Loeb. Gilvendijk centered it. And that scores! Danny McDonald!
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column!
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yeah, let's get it going. This hour underway on a Wednesday. It's November 30th, final day of November. Coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Unlock your home with the touch of your phone. Upgrade to smart locks online at CalgaryLockandSafe.com. What's going on, buddy? How are we doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm well. I enjoyed covering a game that had a little offense. That was good. The Flames scored six times Tuesday against Florida, and like they needed that without question. And I don't know. I know where you stand, so I know that you agree with me on this front. So I might as well just lead you right into it because I'm with you. I thought the most important thing about that game against Florida was the night Andrew Mangiapane had, because he finishes with a goal and 2 points, and he looked like the Andrew Mangiapane that we've come to know and appreciate since he burst into the NHL, and the things that make him the player that he is, and the things that allowed him to score 35 times last year. Those things were on display against the Panthers.
Yeah, and I think one thing I would go back and say is that was the best game I've seen Andrew Mangiapane play for the Calgary Flames so far this season. And I would say that long before he scored that late goal. Even if he finished last night with just the one assist,
yeah,
I just thought there were so many building blocks there for Andrew Mangiapane last night. I chatted with Brad Treliving about him a few days ago as part of a Q&A, and he gave me a great quote. He said something to the effect of, we need a little bit more of the beat-up Honda Civic and a little less of the Rolls-Royce, meaning get your nose dirty, get in the corner, get to the front of the net.
Yep.
And we saw that last night from Andrew Mangiapane. I think, you know, the one play that sticks out in my mind, and it's such a weird one to remember, but I remember him taking a pretty heavy lick from Gustav Forsling in the neutral zone to chip a puck ahead to a teammate. And I just remember thinking to myself, that's what they need from Andrew Mangiapane. That's the guy that we're used to seeing. That's the guy who became a fan favorite with that sort of relentlessness mixed with a little bit of recklessness.
Yep.
And we saw that on full display. I thought that was just so important for the Flames.
Well, and I mean, the things that Mangiapane does and the way that he plays the game when he's at his best, you're right, it's just like that. Like he's we're not talking about anything pretty. We're not talking about highlight reel goals. I mean, he scored a couple of those. I'm not trying to say he doesn't have skill, but the kind of hallmark and the central themes of his game, he is a pain in the ass to play against. He cleans up muck in the hard areas, and he gets to the hard areas with the puck on his stick. And that's the one area. It's funny, I was writing an article after the game on Tuesday, and that's the one area that has been drastically different for Mensch this year, is that he hasn't gotten pucks to those areas anywhere near as frequently. And so he's generating shot attempts and shots at kind of pretty typical levels for himself this year at 5-on-5. But by far, his lowest rate of getting those attempts from the slot area, from the house, from the high danger areas, he just and it's fairly noticeable. Like, we're talking about a big drop off, and so again, that's another thing that he did really well against the Panthers is get himself with the puck on his stick to the harder areas of the ice, the most stringently defended areas of the ice, and the more of that, the better. Because you're right, they need this guy. They need this guy to be a consistent offensive option for them.
Even if you go back and watch the replay of Rasmus Anderson's goal, the third goal of the first period turns out to be the game winner. Well, Mangiapane is
Andrew.
When he plays really well, I call him Andrew. There's some extra class in there, I feel like.
Yeah, that's more Rolls
that,
Royce.
That is more Rolls Royce. There's no doubt about that.
Now, are you going to include the quote? Because you sent me your interview with Mange, and we're going to hear a clip from it in a second. Are you going to include the quote right at the very end when you asked him about what he's driven before? Is that in your story?
Well, I think it's actually pretty well known around these parts that him and Rasmus Anderson split a Saturn View in Stockton, but he confirms he's never owned a Honda Civic. So, but just to go back to
silly decision
to Anderson's goal last night, if you look what's happening as that play sort of develops is Andrew Mangiapane has all the attention of Aaron Ekblad. When that goal goes in the net, he's just scraping himself back up off the ice. I'm surprised it wasn't a penalty, actually, on Florida's top defenseman. But when he's that sort of nuisance, when he's drawing that sort of attention, like he did last night, it just opens up so much for the Calgary Flames second line. And that's a second line that we've seen spurts, but not a whole lot of consistency out of so far this season. And I think you could say that about every line, but the Kadri-Mangiapane combo hasn't been the instant sort of click we expected. Last night, with the way number 88 played, you saw why it could work. I think he was maybe the best player on the ice last night. You could certainly put him in that conversation. And the Flames just need so much more out of him. Not so much more out of him. They need so much more of that out of him.
Yeah, it was either him or his boy Raz who were they were the two best guys for me against Florida. Because Raz, and we're going to hear from him a little bit later on this hour, but I thought he set the tone defensively. And when Mangiapane's on, when he's on, Drew, when he's on, he is a tone setter. And that's important. Like, he is a guy that sets the tone for the way Daryl wants the team to play. Shot volume, checking, hard to play against. That's Andrew at his best. And so they need more guys to set the tone on this group. And I thought that right from the get-go, the pass that he made to Dylan Dubé on that shorthanded goal, the play that he makes to allow that to happen, the fact that he did get knocked down a couple of times, and you know he was into it after whistles again, like, that's how he sets the tone. And they've needed him to set the tone more so this year. So now you hope that this is a stepping stone or a springboard for him to do that on a more often or a more frequent basis. Because we know he can, because he did it for the better part of 82 last year.
Yeah, he's not a guy that you question his work ethic. You never wonder about what sort of effort you're going to get out of him. And yet it's been too much perimeter this season. And he's just not effective out there. That we're talking about a guy who last night when he scores at the end of the game, that was his second goal in a span of 18 games. That's not going to cut it for the Calgary Flames. And so it starts for him with getting engaged, with getting to the edge of the blue paint, with being that guy who, you know, is sort of getting the noogie from his older brother in the scrum after. Like, the guy who's just right in the middle, that feisty forward, that was Andrew Mangiapane last night.
Yep.
And that is just so important. That's the guy we saw for almost all of last season. And I don't know how these things kind of come and go, other than sometimes I think it just clicks for guys that they've been playing too much on the perimeter. I had a conversation with Calgary Wranglers forward Ben Jones, where he said the coaches were on him to get closer to the net. You know, you got to go to the hard areas. And I remember him saying to me, I didn't even really realize that I was playing on the perimeter, but that really made it click. Well,
Right. Whatever
made it click last night for Mangiapane, it was really important for the Calgary Flames. And if they can get him replicating that sort of performance, it is just going to go so far to solving the scoring issues and the consistency issues that this team has had.
You spoke to him after practice and asked him about, can this be a bit of a springboard? Can it turn into more? Here's what Mange said to you on Wednesday after practice.
You want to go out there and help the team win whatever way you can, right? So it helps with the confidence and just being able to make plays and just having that belief in yourself again, right? You don't want to get away from that and just, you know, you're a good player and just kind of keep playing your game, right? And things will start kind of turning for you, right? So, right? You just got to go out there and just play your game, right? Right? It's kind of tough stretches, but yeah, it's easier said than done, I guess.
And I was talking to his line mate, Dylan Dubé, and he was like, man, guy has been working so hard over the last little bit, and has really, because you could tell, even in talking to him at different times, you could tell that he was frustrated. You could tell it's like, what the hell is going on? I have been this guy who has worked hard and things have just happened, and I'm still working hard, but now things aren't happening. You could tell there was a little bit of that going on. And I was just, it was cool to hear Dylan talk about it too. He's like, I'm just so happy that Manj was able to score that goal and was able to get a couple of points because I see how hard he works. I know how hard he works. And he finally was rewarded. So, you know, listen to him right there as well. He's been playing the right way more and more and more. That line has. So maybe that can be something that can be a stepping stone to more of it.
And his reality has changed. It wasn't very long ago that when he chipped in offensively, it was kind of a bonus. And then he has this terrific breakout year. Not that he hadn't been producing before, but he has this terrific, God, I'm struggling with the spoken word today.
Welcome to the club.
He has this terrific breakout year. He scores 35 goals. He puts in a pile on the road. We're talking about him being on Team Canada's radar for the Olympics. Obviously parlays it into a very nice raise, and now he's expected to score, especially with the departures over the offseason. He's expected to be one of those go-to guys, and so knowing what he puts on himself, I can only imagine how challenging it was for him at the end of that road trip. The team can't score, and he's not helping. That's not the situation or the scenario that he envisioned. I still don't think it is what the scenario is going to play out to be this season for the Calgary Flames. He's a really important supporting caster. He's one of those guys who is a key piece. He has to drive that second line. He has to be the key guy on that second power play. Yeah. Last night, I think to get that reward is going to do a whole bunch for him confidence-wise. And just to know that, I said to him today, when you walked off the ice, did you know that was my game? Like, that was more like it. And, you know, he doesn't want to crap all over himself for the way he was playing leading up to it, but he essentially said, yeah, that felt like it, you know, that felt more like me, and that's just so important for these Calgary Flames.
I want to read you a few texts, 960-960, if you're listening live. This from Mike says, Mangiapane's one of the best finishers and playmakers on the team. I'm wondering if that dam finally breaks as he can score in bunches, and we have seen that, so from a Flame standpoint, you hope that's the case. This says, Mangiapane was only on his butt twice last night. I know that's something that everybody likes to point out, is that he does fall over or get pushed over or whatever a lot. It's never been something that has bothered me. Or there's one texter who texts in all the time. He's like, oh, it drives me nuts. And like, he's still a good hockey player. Whether he's on his knees a lot or not, he's still an effective hockey player. Like, it's never bothered me. It's never been something like, oh, if he did that less, he'd score 40. I've never quite understood that one myself.
Just for my future reporting, OHB, I believe, on his butt. What site tracks that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't found the one that has those metrics, but there's always new ones coming out. So I'm sure that you can find one, OHB. This says, my friend's a pig farmer and also cleans up muck in the hard areas. Can he play winger for the Flames? Well, send a resume in. Tree's very open-minded. And then this one from Sam, and I wanted to end the Mangiapane conversation with this text and get your take on it. Pat, what's the biggest difference from Mange from last year to this year is a new contract. It's not shocking to see a decline in that intensity that he has had since he came into the league the year after he signs his biggest contract. It happens with a lot of players, and that's what needs to be addressed. That's the elephant in the room, and you and everyone else need to talk about it. Once Mange gets this new big money contract to the side and he goes out to play like he used to, the results will come. Until then, he looks like a guy that doesn't want to do what he's always done now that he has the big money contract. Sorry, but calling it the way I see it. That comes from Sam. And that is something that I can sometimes buy into. I don't buy into it with this player in question. I have other theories as to what's going on, but at no point have I ever been like, nope, Mangiapane is cocky and thinks that he's a cock. First of all, it's not a long-term deal. It's only, what, a two-year deal?
3 years.
Three-year deal, yeah. That's right. And second of all, I've never got the impression that, well, nope, now Mangiapane will kick his feet up and he's not going to work. He's not going to give you the effort because he's hit it big. I don't see that myself with this player.
I'll tell you, in my conversations with him, and we had one in Pittsburgh on the road trip, we had another one today We're not talking about a guy who's coming out in defense of the way he's been playing. We're not talking about a guy who's coming across as satisfied with his performance so far this season for the Calgary Flames. And so if he was, then I think you could say, well, he just is happy he got paid. He's sitting back. He probably bought a garage full of Saturn views and he's set for life. But I just don't get that sense with Andrew Mangiapane. I really don't. We chatted today and I asked him about the slow start and what the reasons for it might be. And he did mention a couple things, and I don't think he was coming across as making excuses, but he talked about trying to find some chemistry with some new players. That's more than anything an acknowledgement that him and his line mate Nazem Kadri haven't been an instant click, that it's taken a while for them to get comfortable playing with each other. And then he reminded me that he missed a bunch of time in training camp and it took him a while to get up to speed. And we still don't know exactly what was keeping him out for those first few days, but I think he felt a little bit behind when he got started as well. And so I think there's a bunch of explanations for it. I definitely think it's fair to ask for more than he's given the Calgary Flames, both production-wise and otherwise so far this season. But to say that he's just sitting on that fat contract and he doesn't really give a hoot anymore, in this case, I'm just not sure that's fair.
Well, and I might look at some other reasons that are related to the contract, but not him just being, not screw it. I got $18 million in the bank now. I don't need to play. I think that there is increased pressure that goes along with finally, like, he knows that he's worked his ass off and has gone through at least one very unpleasant contract negotiation that let's be honest, they took an L on. That one going into the 19-20 season, that was, or 18-19, whatever it was. It was a pretty hard L. It was like,
right,
hey, here's your qualifying offer. We want more. Okay, here's your qualifying offer, and tell us when you want to sign it, and then you can come to camp. And finally, he signed it. And then there was the next deal, which was a bridge. It was a raise, and that one was not a contentious contract negotiation, as we understand it. And this one wasn't either. But he knows he's worked his tail off to get this, and now I think he puts a lot of pressure on himself. Like, I want to go out and prove that this is what I am, that I deserve this. And I also think him being on this team for a long time now, he's one of the longer tenured members of the Flames all of a sudden. And he knows that Johnny's gone. He knows that Matthew's gone. And I think that he's put a lot on his shoulders to be like, no, I need to be one of the guys that drives the bus offensively. And we all know he can be, and we all know they need him to be, but I think that comes with a little bit of added stress, added pressure that a guy like him has never really had on his shoulders before.
It has to. He never had to answer the questions when he wasn't scoring.
Yeah.
It was never, hey, what's going on with your game?
All the offense was always gravy with him.
It was. Going back to when he first broke in the league, and we knew he could score. We knew he put up big numbers in junior. We knew he'd been very productive during his stint in Stockton. But the offense was always going to be a bonus with Andrew Mangiapane. Now he's established himself, and good on him, as a guy that you expect to produce offense, that you expect to create for his line mates. And it's been spotlighted that he hasn't done that in the first quarter of the season for the Calgary Flames. Certainly not on a consistent enough basis.
Yeah.
But I think if you take a step backward from that and you forget the numbers, you forget that he's got 4 goals and 5 assists in 22 games so far, what worries me more is that we didn't see that sort of scrappy spark plug player that Andrew Mangiapane can be at his best often enough in the first quarter. We saw it last night. We saw the best version we've seen of it so far last night. And if that can be a springboard for Andrew Mangiapane and the Calgary Flames, he's going to start to be that go-to guy, that consistent contributor that he really wants to be.
What'd you make of the Matthew Tkachuk reception and the way that all went down? I thought it was fun.
I thought it was a blast in there last night. And the laughter, the one time he was being booed, was absolutely classic. But there were some hard feelings in there. And I don't blame people who are a little bit ticked off about the way that Matthew Tkachuk's stint with the Calgary Flames ended. But, you know, for that night to start the way it did. Obviously, he gets booed the first time and touches the puck. A great applause, a standing ovation, and well-deserved during the TV timeout. But then for the boos to pick up again, I thought the Calgary Flames really fed off that hostility. I thought the atmosphere was something they were able to capitalize on. On top of that, you score three early goals, give your own fans something to cheer about. It really made for a fun night in there last
night. I thought it was super flat leading up to puck drop, and then as soon as 19 and White touched the puck, all of a sudden it went from being flat in there to being like, okay, all right, we got something going on now. Let's and then it got bigger. And then the first commercial break, we all knew it was coming, but the thank you Matthew graphic in the video comes up, and Flames fans were like, yeah, thank you for your time. That's enough. And then literally seconds later, he touched the puck, and it was as loud a boo as, and I just thought it was, nothing was malicious or classless. Like, anybody's like, oh, Flames fans booing. No, that's not classless. It was, they're well within their rights, and it was all as part of just a hockey game. He's like, no, this is hockey. And I thought Matthew took it in stride post games, and I've heard it before when guys come through here, passionate fans. And I thought that's the best word, passionate fans who love their team. Guy gave a lot to the organization over a half decade and then says, I don't want to be here. So we'll thank you. And then we'll also show you that we're not happy that you didn't want to be here. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was exactly how it should have gone. And I give Flames fans a ton of credit.
Yeah, it was terrific. And I don't know what the TV ratings were in Columbus last night, but there's one guy who must have been watching that thinking, oh boy.
I wonder if when, because they'll do the same thing. They'll do the thank you, Johnny. And look, let's be honest. Johnny did even more for the organization than Matthew has. I want to see what happens when that video comes up, because no question he'll get booed every time he touches the puck. But what happens when they show the graphic, and does the same thing happen? I think it will.
I sure hope so.
I think he'll get the standing O, but I think it'll be much like against the Panthers. I think it'll be 97% hostile, and that little stretch there for 90 seconds, it'll be appreciative.
Yeah, and that, I think that's the way it should be. You know, we're talking about two star players. Players that people in this market cared a whole lot about, who decided that the grass was greener elsewhere. And if you've been outside today,
I don't see
grass is
grass
a little
anywhere.
Greener in Florida. But that's beside the point. You're talking about
in
a
Columbus,
couple of guys
though?
Who decided they didn't want to be part of it anymore. The way that Matthew Tkachuk was treated, the way that we both think Johnny Gaudreau is going to be treated, it's perfect. It's not classless at all. It's fans who care about their team and care about the way things went down. I think it's awesome.
And you were there. Jonathan Huberdeau was getting booed by the end of the game in Florida. And they had thousands of people down at ice level with jerseys turned around, giving them a standing O during warm-up. And to a person in that building, the loudest boo of the night came when Huberdeau took a shootout. And I was like, that's awesome. Because he probably would have loved it. They were booing Lindholm in his first game back in Carolina. Like, it's all good fun. It's all part of being a professional athlete. I loved it.
Remember Lindholm did the Viking clap.
Yeah, which too. I also love.
And listen, if Matthew Tkachuk had scored last night, we would have seen the same thing we saw
in Edmonton.
Yeah. Absolutely. If we can't have fun in that building, what are we doing?
I even love the way, even though his goal got called back about a year ago, when Adam Fox did the, can you hear, like, I can't hear you now.
Right.
And then it was even better because the goal got called back 90 seconds later because it was so offside. But it was like, okay, that's awesome. The fact that he did it and the fact that the fans could give it right back to him because it didn't count. And then they won like 6-1 or 6-2 or whatever it was. And Shesterkin got lit up and it was a good night. But I love it. And I think it'll be nothing but adulation for Sean.
I was just going to say, I hope there's no boos for Sean Monahan. We're talking about a guy who, it wasn't his choice to leave.
No.
He would have been back. I don't even think we still know the extent of what he tried to persevere through to help the Calgary Flames. And so I would expect it's going to be nothing but cheers for him tomorrow.
Stay tuned a little bit later on this hour. Great quote from Daryl Sutter on Sean that we'll play for you a little bit later on this hour. He's Wes Gilbertson from Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Worried about radon? They install custom mitigation systems to reduce your risk. To find out more, visit dlbasementsystems.com for a free estimate.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's time to go inside hockey on this Wednesday edition of the program. Inside Hockey's for Calgary Co-op. Calangaries is the only family of products curated for the taste of Calgarians, and you'll only find them at Calgary Co-op. It's Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson along with you this hour. How good was Rasmus Anderson against the Florida Panthers? He was, in my eyes, one of the two, three best players on the ice, period. Played 24-38, 2 points, two shots, was all over the place. I thought that was... You know, we talked about Mangiapane earlier this hour and him, that being one of his best games of the season. Raz has had some really good, really strong outings, but that was one of his two or three best games of the season, too. He was outstanding.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you. And we've talked about the points, and I know we'll talk about them again. He continues to produce at a very impressive clip, but he's been quite critical of his five-on-five plays. Yeah. And quite critical of his play in the defensive zone. And I thought that end of it was just as impressive last night. And so if you're talking about the guy who scores the game-winning goal, who assists on another one, if his work in his own zone was just as impressive, that was a pretty good night. And for Rasmus Anderson, Roz, I like to call him.
Roz.
Very impressive night.
The fact that he picked up another power play point and he was the one who started that power play goal to make it 2-0, takes the shot, gets it through, gets a rebound, a dirty goal when it's all said and done that Jonathan Huberdeau ends up getting credit for. But that was another really good example of how much he's growing when it comes to his power play role. We're going to hear from him in just a second on that topic. But you know, you take a look at his power play. I've said this a few times over the last week or so. I'm curious to get your take. You know, we've seen Mark Giordano do it. We've seen Dion Phaneuf do it. We've seen TJ Brody do it over the last 10, 15 years. Guys who have been at the top of the power play as a power play quarterback on the first unit. But I don't know if they would be guys you'd say, yes, those are bona fide number one power play quarterbacks. And I don't know if the Flames have had one going back to like when Al MacInnis and Phil Housley were manning the point on the power play. Those would be the guys that the last time there was just a clear natural fit in that role until now. I think Rasmus Anderson is really growing into that, and the numbers would absolutely back that up. So if you go assist rate, so total assists per 60 minutes, Rasmus Anderson is sitting top 8 among defensemen in the NHL. Like we're talking about in striking distance of names like Cale Makar and Josh Morrissey and Miro Heiskanen. Like that's who he's in the conversation with. He has yet to score a power play goal, and I know that that's something that he is going to continue to work on in shooting. And again, when it comes to points per 60 minutes on the power play, he's a top 13 player. He's right behind Erik Karlsson, and he's right behind Alex Pietrangelo. Like he is all of a sudden putting himself in that conversation on the power play as some of the best defensemen doing that role in the NHL.
Just before I weigh in on this, has Erik Gustafsson texted about his 10 or so game stint as the power play quarterback?
I know that we all really wanted that to work. I just don't know if
it did.
It
never did it? I think you're starting, and important to note on Rasmus Anderson before we get into the rest of it, this isn't as part of a power play that's been going great guns all season. They've had some cold spells. And so to put up the sort of stats that you were just referring to on a man advantage that has been a little bit streaky, as they always are, but certainly some extended stretches where they weren't as productive as you would have liked so far this season, I think that's really impressive. The part that struck me most is I'm starting to see more comfort out of Rasmus Anderson in terms of being the only defenseman on the ice.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of times last season and earlier this season where he seemed tentative. He didn't want to try to get a shot through from the point. He seemed really sort of tentative with the puck, knowing that if anything went wrong, he was the last guy back there. And I think what we're seeing now, this was a guy coming out of junior that we talked more than anything about his poise, and I think we're really starting to see it on the power play. We're seeing a guy who's comfortable with the other personnel out there, who's comfortable taking some risks, not a ton of them, but taking some risks as that last guy back, and I think is getting better and better at getting pucks through traffic, and that's a huge part of it as yep. well. That one last night turns into a goal because he gets the puck through to the net, and then all hell breaks loose. And so those are a couple things I've really noticed that have made him a better fit for that power play quarterback role than I think he's ever been before.
I caught up with Raz after practice on Wednesday, and it's what I wanted to talk about, just the comfort level, the growing comfort level with him and his role as this team's power play quarterback.
I just wanted to ask you about kind of how things are progressing for you on the power play and just your comfort level in that role this year. How would you say it's come along for you?
Obviously more comfortable this year than last year. You know, I think they used me more this year than they did last year, and I feel good. I feel, you know, the guys that it's on the ice with, they trust me, and, you know, we haven't scored as of late except for yesterday, but, you know, once we get rolling, we're usually good, so I feel good up there, and I would keep building.
I know one of the focuses for you coming into the season was shooting more. How much of that was on the power play, too? Was that a big focus for you there as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, kind of if you look at our goals we've scored on the power play this year, it's mostly from shots and, you know, flank shots or top shots and then rebounds and banging them in. And, yeah, I want to shoot more, and I still think I can shoot more. I think I'm averaging around 2 shots per game, and I'd like to get that up a little bit more. And like yesterday, I had 2 shots in the first, and I didn't have any more shots. So it's still something I'm grinding on and working on. So, yeah, obviously power play was a focus point on that.
When you're back there at the line, and the more you do it, is it just in terms of distributing and making quick decisions, is that just a comfort thing, or do you work on that actively, watch video? I'm just curious as to how you develop in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you pre-scout the other power plays, right, and you kind of want to get to know their tendencies, but at the same time, you got to trust your instinct up there, and, you know, you want to move it quick, and you want to find the shooting lanes, and, you know, the hardest defense is always a shot and a rebound and chaos. So, yeah, you know, you watch video, you kind of know the other team's tendencies, and then you'll take it from there.
In terms of the personnel on the power play this year and some of the reads that you make, has it changed a lot compared to last season?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm getting used more, that's for sure. Last year, there was a lot of low plays being made, and, you know, could go a couple power plays without even touching the puck. So, but yeah, I'm getting used more this year, that's for sure.
Is that always an area that you felt really comfortable in and kind of running a power play, even going back to before you came over to North America? Has that always been part of your skill set?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I remember, except for obviously my first, what, 2 or 3 years in NHL, I used to run power plays and, you know, being that point guy. And so, yeah, I've done it, you know, growing up, and did it in Stockton and did it in Barrie. And, yeah, except for the first 2 or 3 years here, I've played that position for a long time.
So what about your skill set works so well with it? Why do you think it's been such a good fit throughout your career?
I think I see the game well, and you know, I try to find an open man and give it to them. And you know, sometimes I can be more selfish. I usually try to look to pass, and that's kind of what I'm working on, you know, getting those shots through. But you know, I try to make the right plays and make the right reads, and you know, if I have a shot lane or if I have a pass lane, I usually see that pretty well, and I try to make the right play at the right time.
Last one, just in terms of kind of retrievals and keeping pucks in, how much growth have you seen in your game at this level, even this season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, retrieving pucks and that kind of stuff, it's a read as well, right? You got to read where the forecheck comes, and you know, if it's a drop pass or if they're coming to pressure you up ice, and you know, if you want to move it quick and kind of beat the first forward, everything is about beating that first forward and try to create a 4-on-3 for the forward to carry it in. And yeah, I think we've done a good job with you know, the drop, and we've had troubles like getting it deep, but not entering, but just getting it deep and trying to control it from there. And then, but yeah, it's obviously something work out. It's the same thing there. You watch video, you watch the other team, how they like to PK and all that kind of stuff. So you try to take it from there, and every team is different, and you know, you try to come up with different things for each game.
That's Rasmus Anderson. Caught up with him after practice and just talked about his work on the power play. It's someone that he's done throughout his career, but different at the NHL level and different this year. I thought it was interesting when he talked about how he'd go two or three power plays with barely touching the puck because everything was focused down low. This year, a lot of it runs a whole lot more through him and his reads at the top, and that's got to just be a nice confidence builder for him as well.
Yeah, I was actually surprised briefly during the road trip to see him off that top power play unit because I think he's been such a nice fit there, and you're absolutely right. This was a power play in years past that kind of filtered almost exclusively through Johnny Gaudreau and then down low from there, and we're seeing a lot more emphasis on Rasmus Anderson. We're seeing him trusted a lot more as the guy who distributes, and he's doing a heck of a job of it for these Calgary Flames. That top power play continues to show signs that there could really be something there, and I think if they can continue to develop chemistry, it's only going to help on that top line as well, since you have three of those guys, again, skating together. But if you go through all the quote unquote jobs on a hockey team, and there's certain ones throughout the start to the season that you might say, well, it hasn't been good enough from your blank line, whatever. It hasn't been good enough from your sixth defense, whatever role you want to go through, and there would be dozens of them. I don't think power play quarterback, especially on that top unit, is on the list of roles that you'd have any issues with so far.
There's no doubt when you take a look at that contract and what the role that he plays, how much he plays, like, we're talking about a core member of this team without question. And probably, if you ask me, probably the guy who is best suited to be, like, if you were to say who's got the best chance of being a number one defenseman on the team, I think, you know, when you take a look at his age, too, because Uyghur's a little bit older, and I just look at Rasmus and say, that guy's got all of the tools because of the power play and the offense and the skating and the age. I could absolutely see him being talked about in that conversation down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And as he becomes more of a leader, I think the Calgary Flames are taking on more of his attitude as well. He plays with a real swagger to his game, and especially at his best. He's in everybody's ear. He's in every scrum. He does a good job of doing it without taking a lot of penalties. And I think at his best, that sort of attitude, I think that's the best word for it, can wear off on the Calgary Flames, and it makes them better.
That's our look inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. With new product families, member rewards, and sale events, you'll find more quality, more savings in every department, every day at Calgary Co-op. I did promise earlier that we would hear Daryl Sutter on Sean Monahan. Sean's going to return to the Saddle Dome against the Flames on Thursday when the Canadians are in town. The Montreal media is already here. They actually started getting in for Tuesday's game against Florida. Look, it's always an event when the Habs are in town. The traveling media in both languages, it's always one of my favorite days of the year. Habs in town, it's a big deal. And Sean's been a great story for him. He's got 14 points in 22 games. He really has given a... We thought there was a chance that he could revitalize or be able to kickstart his career again, but it's happened. Like, it's been a really good story for Sean so far in Montreal.
Yeah, and there is not one person in Calgary surprised to hear the praise that you're hearing for Sean Monahan from the young players, from the young centers especially in Montreal. Like, raise your hand if you're surprised that this is a guy Nick Suzuki is leaning on.
Yep.
Nobody. That is the sort of teammate, that is the sort of leader that we heard about Sean Monahan being for all those years for the Calgary Flames. We understand why he's not here anymore. We understand that they needed to open up salary cap space to sign Nazem Kadri. You can't help but be happy for Sean Monahan with the resurgent season he's having. I hope he keeps it up.
Yep.
And I hope he turns it into another nice contract at the NHL level, because we were talking about a guy who had nights last season, the season before, where it looked like he wasn't long for the National Hockey League.
Yep.
He just couldn't keep up with the game. And to hear that he is moving as well as he has been in several seasons, the, you know, little bits and pieces of the Montreal Canadiens that I've seen so far, I've certainly noticed that. good for Sean Monahan. I don't think there's one person in this city who isn't happy for him.
We're going to hear from Sean on Thursday ahead of the game against the Canadians, but Daryl was asked about the year Sean is having and how he's been able to get his career back on track. Was asked about that after practice.
I'm going to tell you this about Monty, and the guys that were here that always asked about Sean. You know, Sean did everything you asked him to. Like, if you could have... If Sean had been on one of those guys that was on a long-term thing, that's a captain, right? Sean Monahan. And I never seen Sean at his best because he had double hip surgery. You think about it. He had one side, and so he's playing on one there. And then then last year he has the other one, right? So he probably played parts of 2 years with major issues. So you never seen him at but he always... Sean Monahan is such a coachable guy and such a good guy. Like, so to see, you know, I haven't watched Montreal much other than knowing that they're coming up and sort of highlights things like that. But I can tell you right now, he's moving a lot better than any time than when in the last 2 years, for sure. So good for him.
That's Daryl Sutter earlier today after practice on Wednesday. Just good for Sean. It's an awesome story. He deserved a shot where he was going to be able to not only physically be able to play, but also get a role that allowed him to play lots of minutes and feel like, hey, he's part of something. And with them bringing Kadri in and them wanting to, like, where was Sean going to play? Like, he's in a much better spot in Montreal playing the minutes that he's playing than he would have been likely as the number four center on this team. And with him being physically in a significantly better place and also getting the role he's been given in Montreal, yeah, he's probably going to get another contract. We wondered what was going to happen in the coming summer, whether he was a Flame or elsewhere. Was Monahan going to get another contract? He's going to get another contract now, and he deserves it. And that was the one thing when the Kadri trade happened that day in July or August or whenever it was, the one thing that people kept on saying is, I am rooting for Montreal. Nobody's rooting for Matthew Tkachuk in Florida. Nobody's cheering for Johnny Gaudreau to be a point-per-game player in Columbus. But I think Flames fans were all hoping that Sean Monahan would go and be a significant contributor in Montreal. It's happened so far. I'm really happy for the guy.
And a tidy bit of business for the Canadians, right?
Yeah.
They gave up
future
considerations. I don't think you're ever going to hear what those future considerations are. And then they're going to flip him at the trade deadline. So you're going to turn him into a draft pick.
Probably another draft pick.
Yeah. And don't forget the draft pick that came as the sweetener in the deal.
Yep.
So nice business by the Canadians there for sure.
Good for Sean. Who's, if you had to make the call, last one to wrap up this hour, if you had to make a call. You're making the decision, and you're accountable to this decision. Win or lose, you have to put it on your shoulder. Who are you starting in net against the Habs?
I'm going to answer this and then get out of here before the text line can have at me, but okay. I'm going Jacob Markstrom.
Okay.
And I'm going Jacob Markstrom because I want the starting goalie to play 3 of the 5 on this homestand. I don't love his career numbers against Washington, no more than you could normally love 1-8-1 in 10 career games, so... I'm thinking about going Dan Vladar again when Ovechkin and company are here on Saturday. I'm going Jacob Markstrom tomorrow.
I like it. It's the first one I've heard this going Markstrom. I like it. I'm going Vladar just because they need the points. And they need the points. And a team like Montreal, a beatable group, you need the points. Vladar is the guy playing better right now. It's the main reason I'm going to him, and I'm probably giving Jacob an opportunity to get back at the Capitals on Saturday. That's my line of thought, but no, that's convincing. I like that.
And you know what? If you get Jacob to 3 on this homestand, I'm fine if he doesn't have tomorrow. I'd want to know what his opinion on it was in the sense of I don't think it's great to have him sitting this long without getting a start tomorrow. Yeah. If he's on board with it, if he feels like it gives him a chance to reset, then I'd be all for it, but knowing the little that I know, I'm going to Jacob Markstrom tomorrow.
Wes Gilbertson is on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Cameron and Taylor have been our outstanding producers on this hour of Flames Talk, and that wraps us up. This hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Unlock your home with the touch of your phone. Upgrade to smart locks online at CalgaryLockandSafe.com.